Hi everyone, it's Rowan from Twin Strangers Productions. Are you looking for more sci-fi horror audio drama goodness? I have some clips here from my show, Syntax, that could be exactly what you're looking for.
Strangers wearing masks, shaped like former friends and family, stalked the streets. Wailing became the song of our city.
Damn it!
I don't think that's its head. That looks like a dragonfly's head.
Syntax. 3 seasons available for listening now on your favorite platforms. Know the depths, wish for more.
Season 1 of Soul Operator is based on gameplay of the solo TTRPG Welcome to the Habit Trails by A. Yoland, and is distributed under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international license. Like the game, this season will feature horror-typical themes as well as isolation, derealization, grief, and paranoia. For episode-specific trigger warnings, or to purchase the game for yourself, check out the description of the episode. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode 3, Queen of Wands.
Right, Tessa, this is Anisha Amin. She's my...
I'm the de facto babysitter.
Dean needs a babysitter.
No.
Wait, hey!
Anyway, it's nice to meet you. Sorry, which do you prefer, Tess or Tessa?
Oh, I'm actually not sure. You can just call me whatever you want. Whatever you prefer.
Tess it is then.
Okay.
Do I also get to call you Tess, or is that only your new friends?
There are many quotes about idle hands. Most of them have to do with the devil in some capacity, which is kind of funny. If sloth is a sin, then why would the devil give us something to do? That just seems counterintuitive. I mean, I guess he could encourage you to collect all 7 like Pokemon cards, but I always thought it was one and done, off to hell you go. At what point is it just overkill? The point is, my hands have been idle. Objectively, I'm lucky. Lucky to have gotten here when I did in an already established community with people who somewhat understand what they're doing. But I feel useless. Besides occasionally doing inventory with Nate, I have nothing to do. I don't have a job, and this place isn't exactly teeming with activity. I would have expected them to give me some sort of task, have me pull my own weight once I got acclimated to the situation. Not that I think I've gotten acclimated. But it's been 3 weeks, and not a single peep from anyone. No requests, no demands for service, nothing. They've all just let me be, besides the occasional pleasantries. They still look at me with the pity of fellow prisoners. I could ask Jenny how long people looked at her and Liam like that, but frankly, I'm scared of the answer. Since there are no windows in the bedroom, it's like a state of permanent night. When I slept in there, it was disorienting. I've taken to sleeping in the living room downstairs with a makeshift bat that Anisha made for me. She's pretty. Pretty handy with that sort of thing. Tools. It was actually pretty clever. She found some rocks and just spent ages grinding them together until she made an edge. Once she had that, it was easy to shape random pieces of wood laying around. And the scraps from her whittling are good kindling for the fireplaces that some of the houses have. All of the houses have. The gaps in my barricade let in the light of the false sun, keeping me on somewhat of a consistent sleep schedule so I don't just waste my days in the darkness. I managed to sort through the stuff in the attic in the matter of days, and most of it, like me, is entirely useless. There was a box that was filled with what looked like receipts, neatly organized by year in Ziploc bags. It was kind of impressive, honestly. Stellar record keeping. I didn't recognize any of the businesses on the receipts, not that I expected to. I guess I just hoped that maybe one of them would jog my memory. I still only have the beach. I dream about it in a constant loop. I see it when I close my eyes, and if I let my mind wander, it almost feels like I'll get somewhere. There's someone there with me, I think. I can't see who, but I feel them. Their warmth next to me, protecting me from the chill of the ocean spray. I don't know. Maybe it's just wishful thinking that I wasn't alone. Memories are notoriously unreliable. I know that. Memories can change over time. The brain can convince itself of pretty much anything. There's a reason why witnesses are the most unreliable form of evidence in a trial. People can be so sure of something that never actually happened just because they think that it did. Simple suggestions, leading questions, they can make someone entirely convinced of something that they were unsure ever happened at all. To them, it was real until it wasn't. Does a falling tree make a sound if there's no one around to hear it? What makes a memory real? Is this the type of person that I am? Philosophical. It could just be now that I have the time to be. I can extrapolate some things about myself from the intrinsic knowledge that I have, infer the kind of life that I might have had. I remember is a strong word. I know I lived somewhere in America. Shocking. It's the place that I have the most knowledge about, somewhere on the West Coast. The Middle States are all lost on me, so sorry if you happen to be anywhere east of Colorado. I know that I went to school, college. I think I probably majored in something like literature. It wasn't science, whatever it was. Or math, thank God. I gave most of the things in the attic to the community. I figured they would probably know what to do with it. Sandra smiled at me when I walked up, boxes piled high on the back of a little red wagon I found on the street. There was something in her gaze that I couldn't quite place, but she accepted the useless objects with gratitude. The only thing I kept was a journal I found. It's a worn, leather-bound thing that would make any stationery enjoyer vibrate with excitement. It's well-loved, too. Most of the pages are filled with writing, but I still haven't found any pens or pencils. I might need to look into using charcoal. The pages are bent and crinkled where someone tried to erase something, but the page got caught. A lot of the text has been smudged. Water damage, I think. It's bone dry now. It's a diary. There are no other books, at least not that anyone has found, and trust me, I've asked around. Maybe it's invasive to read it? But there's some catharsis in reading broken fragments of someone else's memories. I won't bore you, mystery movie producer, with the details. It is invasive to read it, especially to record it for who knows who to listen to without the author's consent. So, Ellie Coleman, if you happen to listen to this, I have your diary. I don't know why it's in this place, but I hope it came here alone, without you. Journaling is a good way for making goals and maintaining them, right? Well, my goal for this week was to find something to do in the community. Something that wasn't just waiting around for Nate to need help with inventory. I'll admit, it took me a few days to build up the courage, but I eventually approached Sandra about my desire for personal satisfaction. There's no ignoring how her brows almost jumped off her face in surprise at my request. Are you sure, sweetheart? It ain't been too long since you arrived. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. She said, with the utmost concern, but just like any other conversation I've had with this woman, there was something else there. I insisted. I think I will lose my mind if I keep just sitting in that house, waiting for something to come back to me. I need something to focus on, so honestly, I'll take anything, Sandra. She seemed to contemplate my request for a few moments, tapping a subtle rhythm into the leather of her belt. Yeah, all right. Now that you mention it, I have a project you would be a great help with. We've been meaning to make this area of the neighborhood more secure. Too many raiding parties coming through these days. Too many strays. Her voice trailed off. I haven't seen any animals since I got here. I smiled, politely, like my mind wasn't racing with the possibility of what exactly she meant. Anyway, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, why don't you gather up a few folk and start building a barricade at the end of our road, connecting up fences and all that? Should keep you occupied for a little while. I'm sure Nate would be happy to grab whatever you need from the inventory if you ask. That's one way for me to meet more of my neighbors, but beggars can't be choosers, so I took the job. Part of me wonders if Sandra picked me for the gig because of my windows. It's not like I've been able to fix the broken glass from the attempted break-in, so my not-so-secret defense tactics have been out for the whole world to see for about a week. Nate was mostly surprised I'd managed to do it without him noticing. I did, as Sandra suggested, and headed to the inventory. It's a house that's been converted into a sort of storage shed to the right of Sandra's. I think someone used to live there, but that was ages ago, before even Sandra got here. There are dark red-brown stains inlaid into the wallpaper that no one's been able to completely get out. By the time I got there, it was already what could have been called late afternoon, but it was really just a dimmer version of the sun. Nate must have worked at a supermarket at some point in his past because the shelves were looking immaculately organized. Then again, there wasn't much else for him to do. I greeted him just as he added another can of beans to the stack. Feel like getting some fresh air? He smiled, a now familiar smile at my question. Trying to get me to slack off. You are a terrible influence, you know? Har har, I actually have a job. Did you talk to Sandra? I told you she would happily give you a job. Okay, so maybe talking to Sandra wasn't my idea per se, but I executed it, didn't I? I cleared my throat and glanced away from his knowing expression, suddenly very interested in the calorie content of wasabi peas. Yeah, of course I talked to her. You act like I don't know how to talk to people. I'm just gonna skip over how he responded to that. I told him about what Sandra wanted, and he agreed that it was a good idea. And frankly, it was a lot more believable that it was just to combat the very human scavengers. I helped him put away a few more things, deflecting any attempts he made to ask about how I was feeling. As if I could even answer. Even if I wanted to. The sky was even dimmer by the time we made it out, walking along the unchanging road. I thought we should ask Anisha first, so we started heading over to her place. She's a few houses down from the two of us, across the street on the left. Like I said earlier, she's really good with tools. Nate and I were quiet on our walk, but the silence didn't last long. On our way to Anisha's, we caught sight of a small group circled around someone who was talking very passionately about something. I was perfectly content to just walk right past them, but Nate paused, head slightly cocked to the side to listen. I caught some words that really made me wish that we had just kept walking. Something in the shadows. Nate and I glanced at each other before joining up with the group. Miss Maria was in the center, waving a piece of paper around like it was on fire as she spoke. Miss Maria is the oldest person I've met here. Usually keeps to herself, judgmental eyes burrowing into anyone unlucky enough to walk past her porch. She at least does us the courtesy of keeping her scathing remarks limited to Spanish. I'm pretty sure she thinks we're all in hell, like full Dante's Inferno. Of course, her being here is just a clerical error, and God's gonna swoop down and take her to heaven any day now. Her demeanor's familiar enough to me that I wonder if my grandmother was anything like her. I'm telling you, I know what I saw. I may be old, but my mind is as sharp as ever. I was less focused on what she was saying and more on the flickering glimpses I would get of the crumpled paper in her hand. Nate leaned close to the man next to him. What is she going on about? The man, I think his name's John, or maybe it's Michael? Honestly, it might be John Michael, but regardless, he shrugged, arms folded over his chest. He's the kind of man I could physically imagine chewing on a piece of straw, plaid shirt and cowboy boots to complete the whole look. She says she saw something last night lurking in the alleyway next to her place. Real lanky with big red eyes, long fingers that tapered out into claws. There one minute, then poof, gone. No evidence that it was even there, but she drew what she saw with some charcoal. The crowd around us was murmuring, whispers of being watched and people going missing. I hadn't heard anything about that before. A chill raced down my spine and I could feel my hands clam up. Eyes. I think Nate saw me shake out my shoulders to get rid of the feeling because he stepped forward, hands up, and an understanding smile plastered on his face. Okay, guys, let's all calm down. The best thing we can do is keep our heads and not get carried away. If there is something out there like Miss Maria says, then the best thing we can do is protect ourselves. Sandra asked Tessa to put together a group to build a barricade and secure the fences around the street. All eyes were on me. He continued. If any of you are interested in helping out, we're going to meet tomorrow morning at the shed. I was a bit conflicted about the way he took charge of the project. Did I really want to go out and canvass for volunteers? No, but I would have. In any case, what he was saying seemed to assuage Miss Maria, and she stopped her waving around of the piece of paper just long enough for me to catch sight of her drawing. In the midst of smudged, blackened charcoal, I could see the impression of viscerally sharp edges, each and every joint unnaturally protruding through the pale gray flesh like a mockery of anatomy. Two dark, swirling eyes, mismatched in size, but all too large for the face they sat on. And the claws. The claws seemed to go on forever, right off the page. The group dispersed, and John Michael stepped up to take Miss Maria home, offering her his arm like a real gentleman. It was dark now. Wouldn't have been right having her go on her own. Nate and I resumed our silent walk, no longer a comfortable one as our minds both took us far away. I was glad he was there, even if it was just to provide a tangible reason as to why I didn't feel alone. I didn't mention how I felt about him speaking for me. I know he was just trying to help, and it didn't matter in the long run. He didn't mean anything by it. And we didn't end up going to Anisha's either. It was too late to rope her into something, and she can get really fixated on projects when she gets her hands on them. We've been working on the barricade for the past few days. It's really shaping up, and I'm actually pretty proud of it. It was kind of a challenge to figure out how to connect the fences, and it's the first time I've actually traveled the full length of the neighborhood. From the last house before the fog to the house at the end of the street, you can walk for a solid 10 to 15 minutes without needing to turn. There are 40 houses, 20 on each side. There are houses on the other side of the fences too, behind the backyards, but we haven't seen anyone, and no one has been brave or stupid enough to climb over. If anyone has, they haven't come back to tell their story. We put up the first barricade on the fog side. When they made the shed, they knocked out a bunch of walls to make more room for all the junk that people found, so we used that old wood as best we could. It's not a professional job by any means, but it's serving its purpose. We'll probably finish up in another week or so, and then I'll be back to my existential boredom. But we'll be safer, and that should be enough for me. Who is it?
Me. I have a delivery for you.
Oh! Dean, one sec. Whoa, that is a big box, kiddo. What's the delivery?
No clue. It's addressed to you, but it was on our porch. Nate told me to bring it over.
To Tessa. This reminded me of you. That's weird. Doesn't say who it's from.
A mystery.
As if we need more mysteries. Here, let me take this off your hands. Sorry, I don't have anything to tip you, oh faithful delivery boy.
Can I watch you open it?
Yeah, sure, why not?
What do you think it is?
Hopefully, a new hobby.
Whoa, what is that?
Don't! It's a bear trap. Nate will kill me if you lose a finger doing something dumb like sticking your hand in it.
Man.
I almost don't want to ask how this could possibly remind someone of me.
There's something else.
It looks like a sketchbook. Wait, are those?
Tessa? 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 Tessa?
This episode featured Tatiana Gefter as Tessa Whitlock, Mike LeBeau as Nathan Sutter, Michael Blundell as Dean Sutter, and Addie Nofal as Anisha Amin, with music and editing by Jay Stroutman. For more information regarding our show, please check out our social medias under Soul Operator Pod.
Knave of Cups is an online shop dedicated to supporting inclusion and creativity in the tabletop role-playing community. They carry a variety of cards, puzzles, and role-playing games from independent artists and creators around the globe, including Welcome to the Happa Trails. Use promo code SOUL, S-O-U-L, to take $5 off your next order of $25 or more on www.knaveofcups.com.
A special thank you to our patrons, Tay-Tay Hey-Hey, Probs Not Hawkeye, Lumi, Starlight, Sirius, and Claire K. You all help keep the show affordable to produce, and we could not be more thankful for your support. To join them and to hear your own name at the end of an episode, check out our $5 and up tiers on our Patreon. www.patreon.com/soul operator pod.com